creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on,
hold on, hold on, hold on. It's Tuesday, December 11, 2018, and it's the Relevant Podcast. We are thick in the holiday season. Nope. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studios still, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello. I'm still coming down off the high of the Christmas show, which the reviews are in. Mediocre. A solid 3.5 out of 5, from what I understand.
It was the sickly pines of Christmas spectaculars. Hey, over there on the ones and twos, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
And calling in from New York City, author, speaker, podcaster, cowgirl extraordinaire, Annie F. Downs.
Good morning, gents.
What you doing up in New York, Annie?
I am here for some meetings and some work things and to see Mumford & Sons at Madison Square Garden. I'm so excited. I am beyond about it. They're my favorite band. I can't wait to see them.
I also enjoy 2011.
You're so mean. That's so cruel.
I'll say this, though. I do like Delta.
Have you
listened to it?
A couple songs.
I mean, here's the thing. I thought you had the airline
for a second, and I wasn't tracking. I thought you just meant I like Delta, and I was like, oh, I get you flying. I didn't know where we were going conversation.
Wait. We were talking about Mumford & Sons because Delta now has this... The Delta Studios. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Great selection.
And they've just announced that you can upgrade using miles. Delta's great. You can just upgrade with a couple clicks using miles.
That's how the career trajectory of Mumford & Sons is. This is a sponsored album by Delta Airlines.
That's what bands have to do now.
They fly around and perform corporate, to audiences that are...
Corporate shills. That's all they are now.
Yeah.
Mumford & Sons.
That's why I'm in New York. And I've never been here for Christmas. Have y'all been here for Christmas before?
Many, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's magical.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely magical.
Jesse, I'm going to give you a little tip of the cap, if you don't mind.
The live show, which
we did last week, was truly a spectacular. Lots of firsts. One of the firsts that we had, apparently, was my dad listened to the Relevant Podcast for the very first time.
Wow.
No. He thinks it's like a narrated old-timey show.
His opening context is like, wow, I mean, these guys are, this is really a timeless show they're making. He didn't get the irony. So what was his thoughts, Tyler? And what was his impetus for listening?
I think the impetus must have been, you know, it's a live charitable show at Christmas.
Yeah.
Probably like you said, you got to check in.
Did you ask them to listen to this particular one?
I did. I don't know how they knew about it.
was he thoroughly confused by your celebrity news from the future?
He didn't mention the celebrity news, which makes me think that, it maybe was not the best entry point for new fans into the franchise.
I know. Like, it was so self-referential for years of absurdity building up in that celebrity news thing. That if it was a first-time listener, it made no sense.
The format would make no sense. Right. Every first-time listener would be like, what is happening
here?
Every once in a while, you get a curveball in there.
Lots of Easter eggs. But he did like, and this was the only bit that he referenced, he loved the sickly pines.
Yeah. Y'all have already got a mug for sale, by the way. Y'all are not wasting any time turning that sickly pines into...
Not wasting any time shutting it down. So it was a 2-day affair.
Dude, my parents too listened, and I don't know how regularly they do, but they've mentioned the sickly pines bit.
Really?
There's something that connected with the boomer generation.
The next generation.
So Tyler Huckabee, tell the former governor that we appreciate him listening. and your sister Sarah as well. We appreciate all of the Huckabee family support.
A couple of really hot celebrity endorsements, finally, with Sickly Pines.
Yeah.
They're looking to invest in a new career anyway, so maybe we could get them on board and see where this goes.
My parents absolutely did not listen, so I apologize for that.
Nor did mine. We have a great show in store for you today. Chrissy Metz is joins us later. You know her from This Is Us, breakout star of This Is Us.
Yeah.
And an upcoming movie called Breakthrough. So we talked to her about that.
You guys, have we already talked about that? I've already seen the movie.
I know. The movie is coming out next year. They released the trailer to all sorts of acclaim and buzz this week.
Yes.
But you actually saw a screener. Give us a 30-second review of the actual film.
Spoiler free, if you don't mind.
Spoiler free is it's a true story, so you can know everything you want to know about the
movie. I was going to say, the trailer basically sets up what happens. I don't think they're spoilers. I think you're just along for the ride. So what's your review of the film?
So my 30-second review is it will start so many conversations around the dinner table if y'all watch this movie together.
It's got a good co-executive production team of Steph Curry and Devon Franklin, are another friend of the show. So, you know. And Chrissy and Tyler's favorite actor, Topher Grace, plays a pastor.
I can't believe he's your favorite actor, Tyler.
The Topher Renaissance is upon us.
Well, hey, that might honestly. I know we clowned on Topher. I know we did. But he did. He was just in Spike Lee's Black Klansman, and you know, playing David Duke. And that movie might get some.
Black Klansman is up for a Golden Globe for best drama.
I
think it's a movie that y'all
nominated
enjoy.
Actor Topher Grace is also in this movie.
He was not my favorite, but it was good. He was fine.
Before we dig too far into the show, I know we got to keep things moving today. I just want to tell one story about something that happened this weekend. I've been staying down here in Florida since the live show. I really want to record one more in the studio. I managed to use my athletic prowess to literally embarrass the entire Strang family yesterday afternoon. The entire family. Here's what happened.
I don't know what we're talking about.
We ended up, Cameron's house is on a lake, a beautiful spot. And we decided to break out some kayaks and canoes. And we're paddling around through these, like, you know, little narrow canals.
The cold front hadn't hit yet, by the way.
Do you own all of those boats, by the way, Cameron? Did you own the canoe and the two kayaks?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
have a fleet. You have your own fleet.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I have been very impacted by Bob Goff and have been the recipient of his hospitality over the years. And if he has this home up in Canada, and there's like five dirt bikes. There's like three boats and there's like 10 kayaks. And he told me once, he goes, if you buy one kayak, it's, you know, it's materialistic. It's for yourself. But if you buy 10, it's for others. And I was like, that's it.
Bob, when I move
on to the lake, if I can, I want to have a fleet of paddleboards and kayaks and things for friends. I want these to be for friends.
So we did.
Yes, we had all those.
Let me add one thing though. The canoe, I questioned its seaworthiness.
Cohen. I did see that in the story. Cohen did not feel great about being in that boat, Cameron.
The canoe was left out on the curb by a neighbor.
Yeah.
And it said free take it. And we hauled it back to our house and we're like, this will be a father-son project. We'll restore it. He quickly lost interest.
Yeah.
So I had to restore it myself. So I fixed the fiberglass. I made fiberglass. I bought new seats, which we put on yesterday. It just hasn't been painted yet. That's the only thing.
It looked like if you were like, let's say you're filming like a post-apocalyptic movie in like the Louisiana, like on the banks of the Mississippi, and like a shrimping vessel had been left out. Having left to the elements, like I'm like, I know you put a lot of liquor on there.
But if
that canoe starts sinking, I'll save Cohen. Cameron, you're gonna have to swim for it.
I'm ready for the athletic prowess story.
Okay, so we start canoeing through these canals. I'm in a kayak, leading the way, obviously through the canal. Obviously, I'm out in front. You know. Behind me is Chandler and is in a kayak.
Yeah. Yep.
And behind Chandler is Cameron and Cohen in a canoe, and they have two oars. Me and Chandler have one. So we get back.
Yeah, but your oars have two paddles on
it. Two sided.
Yeah, that's fair.
We only had
this is an adorable story so far, by the way. Just Jesse and the Cameron. I mean, in the Strang boys. How sweet is this?
So paddling around at sunset. On a balmy day.
And the other thing is, I see a restaurant across the lake, and I'm like, all right, guys, let's go get dinner. And all of them are like, no, that's way too far. I'm like, okay.
I just didn't have my wallet with me.
I didn't have a wallet either.
That was the only reason.
I would have said, put it on the tab. We'll come back later. I'll paddle out later and square up with them. We could have figured it out.
We can't eat.
And we could have figured it out. I'll barter with them like a sea person does. Like, that's what you do. You roll into port.
You're back.
And they don't know what currency you have. And you just do a little barter, you know?
Wait, so you would have just rolled up in your boats and just said, feed us. We don't have money.
That's again.
That was what Jesse's plan was.
Hey, Again, I don't want to. I don't want to get into like my understanding.
C-law applies to a residential chain of works.
Yeah,
I don't want to get into. It's maritime etiquette when these wayfarers drift in after untold hours at sea.
And if you eyballed my canoe, they've had a rough go of it.
You feed them, you know, and then what happens when they come back?
They virtually think Cameron was homeless.
When they come back with a bounty from some far off land, they throw some shekels your way for the. But either way, none of them wanted to do my plan, which
it was also about to be dark, and I wasn't trying to.
Oh, that sounds
dark.
More fun to me, you know, creeping through these
the narrow canals and the pitch black.
Either way, so they don't want to go to...
there's no alligators in there.
There's no alligators.
I mean, it's Florida. There's an alligator.
Okay, there's no alligators. they patrol it, man.
So, yeah. let me continue to paint the picture.
Sorry,
I had led the crew through a very narrow canalway. Chandler, was that not a very narrow canalway?
It was very narrow.
And Chandler, was I not leading us through the narrow, very narrow canalway? Triumphantly. We make it to the other side, out into a large thing of open water.
Right.
And I'm kind of doing some tricks. I'm kind of showing everybody.
Wait, tricks. You have tricks?
Okay, here's the trick. Here's his trick. Here's his trick.
I hoisted the oar over my head and went, hoo,
hoo, hoo. Hey, if you like didn't that, do a full gator roll, I don't want to hear it. It's not a trick if your head didn't go underwater and come back up, Jesse.
Yeah, I won that kind of a kayak. Yeah. And his tricks was, it was basically his ability.
Kayak is the kayak that can turn over and be turned back over, Cameron.
No.
Cameron,
no, there's a specific
kayak can turn over.
That's true. They can flip over.
Yes,
no,
that's what I'm saying.
No, it was a sit on top kayak, not a like get into the thing. No skirt to do the flips and junk.
Either way. And this is despite me. I wanted to get up close
I think a true athlete could do it.
And this is after getting rammed by the canoe because they hadn't mastered it like I had mastered my craft. And I thought I can roll next to them and they're not going to ram me with this gigantic steel tugboat that they're pushing around. Like it literally could have killed me. I could have died, but I was fine.
We did broadside them.
So anyway, we're out there. And I'm like, all right, guys, if you guys don't want to paddle to dinner and go barter us some food to refuel for our voyage back home, the least we can do is have a test to see who's the best waterman among us. And I said, it's time for a race. And Chandler immediately, after seeing what I had to do, bowed out and just forfeited immediately. Like he didn't even want a piece of it. So I said, fine, Chandler, you go and you be the person, you're the finish line. And you say on your market set, go, I line up my vessel,
that's
which
so
is man.
How do you line up in water? I think that's really hard when you're not.
I let them kind of drift, and I just came up and slowly, like parallel parked next to them. That's
sure,
how good
sure,
I got
sure.
it.
Parallel
like,
parked in water.
I just said, you guys set the starting point. I'll back in here. I'm not even going to go front. I'm just going to back in here. So we line up on your markets. Now let me remind you, they have the power of two people. Cohen is a strong boy.
But yes, he's paddles.
Cohen
you
is in like fourth
paddles.
Grade. He's
they
third
each
grade
have
or fourth
paddle,
grade.
So it's the exact same
it's
amount.
It's the exact same
right?
amount of water pushing.
No, and how I old, have how old? Cohen. How old is Cohen right
nine.
Now?
He's
he is
nine.
Nine. Okay,
a solid 90 pounds of dead weight on
they
the front
have,
of my vessel.
They have the power of a man and a boy against the power of a mere, believe it or not, the power of a mere man. And Chandler says on your mark, and their vessel, when it starts getting that downhill steam, it's so heavy that it's just blasting through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got huge momentum, you know? Like, they could have been to the finish line in like four good strokes if they wanted.
Yeah.
This is like a jet ski against an aircraft carrier in open water. I might get off the finish line.
A jet ski versus an aircraft carrier?
That's right. That's what this was comparable to, Annie.
That is such a stretch.
So on your mark, get set, go. And honestly, it is neck and neck. And I see them.
It's a jet ski versus a tugboat is what it actually is.
I'm cooking. I'm looking next.
I'm the tugboat. He's saying he's the jet ski.
Well, okay. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at Chandler. I'm looking at the finish line. And honestly, I'm surprised that man boy is beating just man.
I was.
It was very close.
It was close. But I said, there's no way man boy is beating man. And I, at the finish line, I went into Like, do you remember that highlight of Lance Armstrong when he's climbing the Alps in the in the first, before he was doping? Because I was clean. Yeah. I was clean yesterday.
But was Cohen. Before he was doping. Question.
And he looks back at the peloton behind him and he just stares for a second and he blasts off up the hill and he wins seven straight for the USA. You know, seven straight Tour de France. Yeah. I look back at Man Boy and I said, this one's for freedom. And I just cranked it out.
Oh my gosh.
Easily coasted. Chandler, it was an easy coast to a finish. Am I right?
I mean, it was close. It was a photo finish. If I had had
but
my phone,
won?
I would have.
But who won? Let's just cut to the chase. The Strang family or just Jesse?
Just Jesse.
Who won?
From what I could tell, it was you.
Okay. That's what I assumed.
Wow. Was Cohen involved? Did Cohen really care about winning?
Well, Cohen, who was at the front of the vessel, so he had a good sight of the tip of the vessel versus the tip of Jesse's vessel, adamantly disagrees with Uncle Chandler and thinks that
Chandler happened to be impartial. Chandler happened to be impartial. And
Chandler, was Cohen like super pushing back with you about that?
No, he didn't really push back. He just denied it.
Yeah, he's just like,
he refused to acknowledge the victory. Yeah, right. It's
he's like Uncle Chandler, you still play Pokemon Go. I don't have time to listen to this.
Hey, listen, listen. What Chandler and Cameron decided to do is what like UCF football did. They just declare themselves national champions. Like, they don't care. They don't care that they're in no way recognized as national championship. They're just calling themselves that, which is fine. Yeah. Which is fine. Yeah. I just wanted to set the record straight. It's like the whole country's like, that's kind of cute. Good for them. You know.
I posted this on Instagram stories. And almost all of the replies were, your weather is a little different than mine right now. Like,
Didn't it rain Sunday when I was flying away? It was pouring rain yesterday.
It rained Sunday. Like a cold, whatever cold front was hitting the East Coast came down yesterday. Yeah. But it's just,
I do my training in cold water anyway. So it's not,
a Navy SEAL at heart.
It was fun having you guys all down. For listeners, we recorded the live Christmas Spectacular on Friday, and Annie and Tyler were both here. And then
what did we get to do Friday night? That was my dream.
And then Friday night, we all went to the Orlando Magic game.
We did.
It was a terrible, terrible game, but it was fun being there with everybody.
It was so fun.
I was too busy hobnobbing with the stars.
He sat by Jesse and ate M&Ms. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. That's true. But you were around. Admittedly, I didn't know any of the stars. I couldn't put any names to faces that were around me. But you just felt the star power down there when you're getting that code.
In our section, in section 113.
Yeah, I made a lot of connections. We have a whole lot new lineup of podcast guests for the next 2 weeks.
A bunch of random people from Orlando.
Yeah, a lot of former boy band adjacent managers. People in the restaurant business who served literal boy bands. So this is manager of TGI Fridays. Back in 2004 down near Disney.
He's got some stories.
Yeah, he's got one. NSYNC came in. It's really uneventful. They're pleasant gentlemen, but still, let's hear all about it for the next 27 minutes. Go.
And then Saturday we had a really lovely Christmas dinner out right on the lake. It was very pretty. The food was really, really good. We had a great time.
And Cameron's house was finished ish, right? Yes, Cameron?
Ish.
It looks amazing.
I mean, there's no kitchen. There's no kitchen.
But everything but the kitchen.
That is an interesting life you're leading, because what some people would call a kitchen, you literally just have a stove and a fridge plugged into a room.
Right. Yeah. I had no counters, no anything. We gutted the kitchen that was there. And so, you know, there was nothing. It was just a shell of a room, but I plugged the appliances back in. So
can I tell people to?
Just for the party on Saturday night?
Yeah, for the caterers. So, like, they needed a stove. I'm like, well, I have one.
So, what are
one.
You doing the rest of the time?
Postmates and McDonald's.
Cameron, your budget.
There was a huge variety of Pop-Tart options when I looked into the
dude, I told Cameron yesterday, because I've eaten so many Pop-Tarts. I was like,
wait,
I literally
you have a ton
said
of
this yesterday.
Pop-Tarts at your house? You didn't share that?
I'm not kidding. It was like a Pop-Tart buffet.
Annie, this is literally a conversation I had yesterday. It's in his living room watching football, and I'm like, got a plate full of Pop-Tarts, and I look at Cameron and I said this. I'm like, dude, you have no idea how far Pop-Tart technology has come from the last time I had a Pop-Tart. Like, it was blowing my
mind. He held one up and it was like all purple with like designs on it.
It was branded.
Like, is it not literally the exact same silver package that you tear open and there's two Pop-Tarts?
But once, once you open it.
But it's the present.
It's the product that is different.
Back when we were
Pop-Tart. It's Fortnite themed?
Yeah, back when I was a Pop-Tart consumer,
that's wild.
The height of Pop-Tart technology was that cinnamon one that had a little bit of frosting, yes. and you crack it open and it made that little nice sound. It was cinnamon sugar. These blow that away. There's like eight frostings
right
per Pop-Tart. per Pop-Tart. It's unbelievable.
I was just going to do one. You know, I'm kind of a health nut. One Pop-Tart does, yeah. is plenty. No yeah. way. Went back for seconds for the whole bag, for the whole bag again. It was a huge breakfast. Well,
hey. I treat my guests well. Yeah, you know, I may not have certain amenities yeah. available, but I'm going to have a cabinet full of Pop-Tarts yeah. for you.
I got one
Did
more thing
toast
to say.
Jesse, tell me how y'all do your Pop-Tarts. Just,
you're a raw guy?
Oh, yeah.
You're a psychopath.
No.
You got to have like, a
warm. Raw Pop-Tart
guy? No. People who take the time to toast Pop-Tarts for some reason are people who order well-done steaks. There's something wrong with you. Eat the way God intended.
The only time I've ever had raw Pop-Tarts was when I like traveled internationally and you didn't know what kind of food you would encounter. So you'd like put bars and stuff in your luggage.
Good.
So I take Pop-Tarts too, just because you get tired of bars.
I don't need
then you eat the raw ones. So I always think of like foreign lands when I have to eat them raw.
Yeah. Well,
no, I don't eat them raw. No way. Toast them. Let the edges get crispy and the insides get warmer. Those cinnamon sugar ones, brilliant.
Come on. I know we got to keep the show moving. I got a complaint about how they go long when I'm, you know, how much tighter they were when I was gone. But can I say one thing?
That's true. We didn't tell them.
I mean, we're like repeatedly. Jesse, hey, good to have you back. By the way, they've been so much faster.
That is literally what we've said. We've been like, Jesse.
When Jesse's on the show.
In like a total non-hurtful way. Yeah.
When
totally
Jesse's on the show, our hour-long show is a solid hour 30. When he's not on the show, it's 37 minutes.
And, you know, either way, can I just say one more?
Yeah.
I'm loose. I'm very loose today because I've been taking nightly soaks in a hot tub. Cameron scored a hot tub. He told me like this insane deal.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When someone scores a hot tub for literally a fraction of the price of the hot tub, you don't go talking about it because
why do you keep saying hot tub deals can go purchase?
Hot tub deals can go wrong in a lot of different ways. And if you score
what are
one,
you talking about?
Chandler. You know what I'm talking about.
I didn't know about you getting it for a deal.
Oh, great deal.
I just am imagining Jesse laying in your guest room last night, Cameron, and just working up this bit. Just working up this
isn't
bit
a bit.
On
this
scoring
isn't a bit.
Hot tubs.
I'm just saying, if someone scores a tub, you just leave it at that.
It's, what are you no question about? It was a Labor Day sale. It was a double sale. The hot tub itself was already from the manufacturer on a major sale. And then HomeDepot.com had a Labor Day sale of everything was 40% off.
Oh, wow.
So I got a double discount.
This was a black market tub. This was a tub. This is a hot tub. This is like, there was a heist on the hot tub truck.
Right.
And there was like a little sale for people who know. And Cameron somehow's in the know, and he scored a hot tub. So
He just, I mean, y'all did nightly soaks. I know y'all did a couple. I mean, soaked. Every night y'all got in the hot tub,
including last night.
Oh, absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah,
wow.
That's why you got the hot tub.
You gotta get loose. Yeah.
And
loose.
When it's cold outside, it's really nice to be in the hot tub.
That's right.
Know?
I keep it hot at all times because I'm not a planner. And I mean, there have been many, many nights that at 1 a.m. can't sleep. Just wander out there, pop in the tub, go, you know, get nice and loose, go right to sleep.
And a lot of people are wondering, what about the summertime when it's far too hot to run the hot tub and be in it? Like, and here I have a solution. He has giant crock pot parties out back. I mean, just converts it.
Yeah.
And in the summertime.
It's a crawfish boil.
In the summertime.
Oh
yeah, you're doing boils.
Oh,
you're
so
doing boils
gross.
Out there. You're doing boils out there. It's a good investment. It's all seasons.
It's four-season hot tub. Tyler, you joined us in the hot tub.
I did. Yeah. I had a great time. We talked about life, our hopes and our fears.
There were tears.
There were tears? I missed it.
Well, when I ate the crawfish, it was pretty bad. And
that crawfish had been jammed in the pump for, I'm looking at my watch, about 4 months now. Yeah. And it was a
long boil.
It was dissolved
as soon as it
gross.
Hit his mouth. It was boiled down.
Ew.
Next time, Annie, you should join us in the hot tub.
Yeah, sounds like a great time. Me and you guys and a bunch of crawfish.
We can record a podcast there.
Live from tubbing it.
We did a live podcast with Shauna at a restaurant, remember, a few years ago? I mean, we could do a hot tub edition.
Why not?
There's a lot of reasons why not.
You wouldn't be able to hear anything. It'd just be the hot tub in the background.
But it'd be like you're there.
People listen for like the spirit, not really the actual words we're saying.
Yeah, the vibe for sure.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving the show along. Stay tuned. Up next, Slices.
and we'll pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we grow by the fire to face unafraid plans that we've made.
You're listening to Aretha Franklin. The song is Winter Wonderland. At the beginning of the show, you heard Albert Hammond Jr. with Set to Attack. Well, today's show is brought to you by the Church Home Global App. It's a place where you can connect with people all around the world, have honest discussions, and create meaningful relationships all from your phone. With Church Home Global, not only can you watch teachings by Judah Smith, there are a lot of great resources available. For example, there's this great feature called the Daily Spark, which is just a quick way to start your morning positively. A little bit better than, you know, getting sucked into a black hole on Instagram while you lay in bed.
Oh, yeah, start your for day. Sure.
Yeah. Church Home Global app is not about excluding people. It's not about being perfect. It's about being together. Everyone's welcome. You can download the free Church Home Global app today and join Church Home's growing community. You can find the app by searching Church Home on the App Store or Google Play. It's spelled C-H-U-R-C-H-O-M-E, like the two words combined. Or text RELEVANT to 555-888 for a direct download link. That's RELEVANT to 555-888. You should definitely check it out. It's great.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, it's time for Slices. What do you have, Jesse?
All right, so I came across a story this weekend. It was about an announcement to the invitees of an upcoming baby shower. So the mother of this unborn child was preparing for the baby shower. And after the invitations got out, she got some feedback that was very unsettling to her. And so she...
Is this like the Elaine Bennis Christmas card?
This wasn't about dance. That's the dancing one. Oh no, that's one where there's a wardrobe malfunction. Yes. And there was no wardrobe malfunction. Unfortunately, that probably would have been less conflict in this family, because it's called a huge dust up to the family and friends who are invited to this baby shower. Okay, these people had all presumably already purchased gifts and were ready for the shower because it went out almost right before. And it says to the members of this person's baby shower, I have a really important announcement to make. It brings me great pain to tell you this, but I am canceling the event. And here is why she decided
to cancel. Wait, you just found this online. This isn't someone you know.
This is not someone I know. It did make national news.
So now it's making international news.
It did. I found it was on Apple News. This made it to my Apple News feed over the weekend.
Okay.
Because your algorithm is weird. That's why.
Apple has
this guy. This is for people. They're like news that's read in a hot tub, and it's like just you know when you lose
for loose people in hot tubs.
Yeah, people who have just shamed a whole family athletically and need to soak it out for a while. You know, a lot of lactic acid. Said you need some loose news. So here is the baby's name. Okay, the baby's name that the baby shower is for was Squire Sebastian Senator. First name Squire Sebastian Senator. That's what? Not the middle or last name. That
no,
is the first name.
That's not
and here's the thing: the parents are insisting there will be no abbreviations and no nicknames.
Squire Sebastian Senator for his whole life.
Squire Sebastian Senator.
And the last name.
Yeah, along with the last name. and that was all in the invitation. Like anything has to be addressed full name, but no
two
nickname.
Of those three words are just titles.
Well, yeah. here's the thing. Okay, so all her friends are like making fun of her, and she is not having it. She canceled the event. Take home the presents if you're. And here's what she said. Here's her justification, which she doesn't need any justification, by the way. Like, if someone wants to name their kid that, more power to them. I already think senators, people know, longtime listeners know, senators should be more involved in the naming of children. And so here is her explanation. She said, if you look back in our family tree, the survival of this clan is literally rooted in squiredom. We are all Then she added, we are all related to senators, too. This name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success. You're darn right it does.
I don't know. I want to see the next paragraph starts with my baby's name will be a revolution.
Exactly. God. And you know what? You're right. And I'm going to send this to the mother of Squire Sebastian Senator. If you're looking to have a baby shower and all your lame-o friends that don't have a vision like you do can't do anything but make fun of you, I will attend. You let me know where this is happening, and I will give, not only will I attend, I will bring a gift fitting for a child named Squire Sebastian Senator.
But why not just Sebastian and then do middle names? I mean, like, why does that all have to be a first name?
Because
a name like that.
You could do that. She could do that, and then the revolution would never happen.
Exactly. Exactly, because she's a woman of vision.
You know, I mean, honestly, though, think back, you know, 5, 10, 8 years ago, whatever it was, when they named their kid Apple, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and stuff. Everybody's like freaking out, like, that's so lame. And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, it's fine. Yeah. It's Apple. Yeah. You know, we just get used to it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, still not fine. That person is still walking around being named Apple.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to get elected president named Apple.
All right, here, let me give you a scenario, all right? You walk into a restaurant, very crowded. Let's say a Chili's on Saturday night, and there's an hour wait, okay? Right. You're sitting there. I got a party of three. It's under Squire Sebastian Senator, okay? You know, so you're waiting. When they come, and it's your turn for the table, and, you know, the hostess or host announces to everyone waiting in the lobby of Chili's, Squire Sebastian Senator, your table is ready. Everyone is like a gas falls over because the name conveys power, it conveys wealth, and it conveys success. And her lame-o family and friends don't have the vision for it, but I do. That
but
kid
like,
at
Bennett
Starbucks
conveys power and success way better to me than Squire Sebastian Senator.
You said Bennett?
Yeah, Bennett. That's like a strong, wealthy name. Right.
No. Okay. Who?
I do take issue with the fact when I think of senator, I just think of some like kind of old like white guy like in a bad fitting suit, like you just kind of sit like our the American senators. I don't think
about
of, like,
think about the Roman.
I got to follow that guy into battle.
Okay. Let me. I'm gonna do a non-biased poll here, Annie, because Bennett. Okay, Cameron, you can have an. If I say, hey, man, I got two buddies that want to hang out, but we can only hang out with one or the other. Okay. You can hang out with my pal Bennett. Or Squire Sebastian Benitor wants Squire Sebastian Senator wants to get into some stuff tonight. Which one are you going with?
I'm with Annie. I'm going Bennett.
What? Yes. You're insane. Yeah. You're insane. You know what, Bennett? Bennett has a forgetful night
here.
Bennett will have a lame night that immediately you're gonna forget. Like Bennett's not doing anything fun. You think Bennett's ever been in trouble in his whole life? Like,
yeah,
Bennett
for sure
wears
he
sweaters.
Has. He's so rich.
Bennett wears
out of
sweaters
stuff
all season. Bennett doesn't own jeans. Okay, Bennett. That's the kind of guy Bennett is. All right, he's all khaki. He's a khaki person that lives in a khaki world. Okay, Squire Sebastian Senator. He wears short suits like Pharrell and LeBron James, and he looks dope all the time. Okay, Tyler, you hanging out with Squire Sebastian Senator, or are you hanging out with Bennett?
Yeah, I'm hanging out with
Bennett
Tom.
Wears glasses and he has perfect vision. Okay, that's who Bennett is. Okay, Chandler, don't let me down.
Chandler, come on,
Squire. What's the guy's
name? Squire Sebastian Senator. Come on.
I feel like it probably get pretty old pretty quick. You know what I mean? Like it'd be a fun
time. It's just
time.
A mouthful. You can't tell. What are you going to call him? Like your buddy?
You're going to call him by his name. Squire his given name.
It's not that this is what's on paper. Yeah, that's fine. Name your kid whatever you want. But like, what are you going to call the kid? Right?
Insisted.
You know what I'm saying? Her insisting that you have to use all three words for acknowledgement of the child.
How about
it's
this?
Ridiculous.
All right. How about this?
Yeah. Cool nickname goes a long way.
Okay.
You know?
Squire Sebastian Senator. How about this? His good buddies, if you're in the inner circle, we can call him Seabass. So you're hanging out. Oh, yes, yes. Are you hanging out with
Seabass
or Bennett?
Yeah. We're hanging out with Seabass.
I'm hanging out with Seabass over Bennett, but Squire Sebastian Senator is not Seabass. They're two different guys.
I do like the inevitable conversation where it's like, hey, is your given name Seabass? And he's like, no, actually, my given name is Squire Sebastian Senator. And I'm like, now that is very exciting. I'm interested. That's a hook.
And is a squire a high ranking thing? I feel like that's a very low ranking.
Squires are bad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's I don't know that you're. But there,
you don't,
squire.
Annie, squiredom literally saved their clan. So let's show a little respect here,
My apologies.
For Seabass and his mother.
Hey, you just got uninvited to the shower for shortening his name, by the way. That's what got this whole thing canceled in the first place.
I'm helping the family out. They will see the generous spirit, non-mocking spirit that I bring to the table. Like all her family, who doesn't sound like much of a family to me. Right. Do you think the rest of her family would have survived? No, because they're mocking Squiredom. They wouldn't have lived if it was medieval times. And she knows that. And she's smart for calling it out right now.
No, this is a terrible story.
Bennett has to turn in. He says that. I got to turn in.
Jesse goes away for like 2 months. Comes back for the Christmas spectacular, a themed slice. And this is for 2 months built up. This is the slice you're bringing.
I found this yesterday.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is brand new for him.
And she's
sure
the one who brought up a Bennett take, okay?
Yeah, I got the hot Bennett take I've had for a while. I've had that one for a while.
Bennett has to turn in, and he takes like melatonin at night. And, you know, like, he's just a real lame-o. Like,
what if Annie's like, that, what if that's the name for like her future kid that she wants to have? Like, just her favorite.
She's taking it now.
Her favorite boy's name.
That's a strong name.
Well, Annie, there's time to if you want him to talk about grad school all the time and, you know,
you're not saying anything about recreationally, Bennett that I'm not into.
Recreationally play polo, then, you know, and smell of cologne when he walks in. That's fine. Be a Bennett. Meanwhile, you could have a sea bass on your hands. And see, let me tell you about guys named Seabass. They're survivors. Okay.
You've changed him, Squire Sebastian Senator, from like, you started him as a rich guy and you've turned him into Seabass.
A guy who would
redneck.
Have a canoe like I do.
Yeah. Seabass. Let's just say this. Seabass is well aware of the black market hot tub market. Okay. Seabass can get you what you need. Let's just not ask too many questions.
All right. What do you have, Tyler?
All right. So I wanted to, as people know that I like to try to keep the, I always try to bring something substantive to the slice market. Right. I feel like we get a little caught up in these name controversies. This one's going to go, I want to explore corruption with this. Yeah. I want to take a hard look at the ways that power can be abused and corruption enabled by people who have no interest in protecting the well-being of those who are entrusted to them. Wow. This comes out of Torrance in California, the slice. Where there was a Catholic school that they did a little digging. They did a little bit of an audit. Okay. And shortly after this audit began, two longtime nuns, two beloved figures in the community, resigned, supposedly because they've been around for a while and they just wanted to take a long, well-deserved break from the life of nunning.
Nunning.
This audit revealed that over the course of the last 10 years, these two nuns, Sister Mary Margaret Krupper and Sister Lana Chang, had embezzled $500,000 to take down to Vegas on semi-regular gambling excursions. And then they'd come back and just start their life of nunnery all over again.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty wild in and of itself. That's a greenlit movie right there.
Yeah,
right.
I'm watching it. Yeah.
From the like two nuns.
It's like Sister Act.
I was going to say
Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
And this Sister Act, Whoopi is leaving the convent.
Yeah.
It's reverse. It's great. I'm totally on board. But here is where, for me, things take a real turn. In which it was they both retired earlier this year, and the school then said, and I quote here, they were involved in a personal use of substantial amount of school funds, the substantial number being $500,000.
Wow.
But the nuns had expressed remorse and the archdiocese and the church are not pursuing criminal charges against them. So I think these two nuns are getting off scot-free for the $500,000 play dates down to Las Vegas. To
gamble. Wait, why are they not trying to prosecute them?
That's where the substantive take comes in, Annie, because this is how powerful people get away with what they're doing. The nun market is there. Who knows what else these nuns have been up to, and they're never going to see any justice for it. Meanwhile, if I embezzle $500,000 from Relevant Magazine, which is not to be taken as an admission that I don't,
then Cameron's going to sick some guy named Seabass on you, and his, and trust me, his justice is not the kind you want to be facing.
No, that's I think that we need to be aware that, like, like $500,000.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of ties.
I can't believe.
Did they lose it all, or did they still have some of it? Did they lose $500,000 gambling? Because that's a different story.
Or does not really get into maybe they were trying to save the school.
And that's the thing. We don't know the details here. In my mind, the school was facing like a $10 million bet.
Right.
You know, debt. And it was going to go under. And these nuns saw one way. That's to get on the hottest of hot streaks in the brand new comedy starring Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Sister Act 4, The Sister Takes Sin City Back. It's a little clunky. It's a little clunky. That's a working title.
I hadn't considered until this point that there might be like altruistic motive. It said personal use. But that could have just been a cover because obviously it had to be off the boat.
Yeah, what do they spend their money on?
Gambling.
Thank you, Cameron. But like, if they're doing it for personal use, they must be trying to make money first to buy things, and nuns don't own things, right?
That's a good point. Maybe they just wanted the thrill of the heist.
They just like craps, or they just like playing. There's some game that they love. Does it say which game they play?
They're like millennials. They don't want things. They want experience.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Hey, I will say this. There's a really great documentary. It came out in 2011. It's called Holy Rollers. I don't know if you guys saw this. It's called Holy Rollers, the true story of card counting Christians. So it's about these young church planners who figure out how to count cards, which, by the way, counting cards is not cheating. It's not illegal. Like it's an element of the game.
They still kick you out because they don't want you to.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, they got so good at it that they had to start wearing disguises, and they justified it because they used the money to plant churches. They would go into a casino, had a whole card counting operation. Yeah. They would use the money that they won. They called it liberating the devil's money. And that's literally how they justified it. Yeah. That this is money that we're taking from a casino that is used to lure people in, using an edge that's not illegal and it's not cheating, that is using the minds that God has given us to take the devil's money and go plant churches with it. And they did it for years eventually spending untold hours in casinos and to the point where they were actually having to spend time creating disguises and ruses in order to get away with it. It became so draining that they walked away, but they made like hundreds of thousands of dollars and used it all for ministry. And it's a fascinating documentary. It's called Holy Rollers, but it's similar to in a way if the nuns
I don't think that it's similar. I think this is just the nuns got caught wasting a lot of convent money.
Yeah.
On vacations.
Yeah, I'm willing to entertain both the premise that maybe they had sincere motives to save the school as long as it leads to a good movie.
Yeah.
I know. It's gotta lead to a good movie.
Which it absolutely would.
Then it does sound like that they were just looking to get out of Dodge.
Yeah. And it's crazy it's fine that the diocese has grace and isn't going to do criminal prosecution, but like the fact that like they aren't having to figure out a way to repay it or something, you know, I mean, it's like taking tithe money out of the ministry. I mean, you got to.
Yeah, it seems like a big deal.
It seems like a big deal. It's not $5,000. Yeah. It's $500,000.
Yeah. I could see like, listen, we're not going to pursue criminal charges, but you're done here.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just don't know why they aren't pursuing criminal charges. It doesn't make any sense to me. Am I off here? I mean, I don't want nuns to go to jail. That's not like a goal I have in my life.
It's not like they're good nuns. They're thieves.
But also, I mean...
And they're terrible at gambling. If they borrowed $500 and came back with $2 million,
That's just a little bankroll. You're supposed to pay that back. Everyone who's seen these movies knows that.
You pay back your bankroll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I mean, in all seriousness, it's not like the Catholic Church has the greatest reputation for... issuing needed justice to people in leadership.
That's true.
I mean, it's been terrible at that.
That's true.
Consistently,
the Catholic Church does have a history of protecting its people,
even if they do horrible things. You know, what's that Netflix? You saw that Netflix series about the nun who was murdered?
The
diocese worked with the police to cover it up.
And this is but in this case, and at this point, you just gotta, you know, these two nuns were just trying to have a good time. First case scenario, best case scenario, they know the church is going under and they know they got one shot to save it. And that's going down to Vegas.
It's a Selma and Louise-esque madcap comedy.
It's
Oceans meets Sister Act meets Selma and Louise. That is the combo that we need to get greenlit.
All right, what do you have, Annie?
Okay, so there is a chain of restaurants in the UK called Frankie and Benny's. There's 250 of them across the UK.
Frank and Beans, like hot dogs and beans, right?
Yeah.
Baked beans?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did this thing at all the restaurants I thought was so interesting. They did it for a whole week. It just ended this weekend where every kid who came in that was under 14 could eat for free if everyone at the table put their cell phone in a box that says no phone zone for the whole meal. If you put, if everyone's kids and parents left their phone in the box for the whole meal, the kids ate for free and people seemed to totally love it. In fact, the, a nationwide study in the UK found that 72% of kids wish their parents spent less time on their phones than they do. And so they found this to be super successful and a lot of kids ate for free. But Frankie and Benny's is also kind of known for doing like sticky stuff like this. Like they did a thing where you could eat unlimited chicken.
Sticky, like they don't mop their floors well?
Yeah. No, well, baked beans can make sticky. A huge mess. Yeah. You know? Because here's the thing about baked beans.
They're known for being sticky.
Can I ask you this? Baked beans, fork or spoon food? I feel like...
Depends on the the recipe. I've had fork.
It's a little runny.
Yeah, I'm going spoon most of the time.
I'd say neither. I want it on my hot dog. So... How about that hot take?
Oh, that is a gross take, but it is hot. It is hot. Very gross, but very hot.
What do you guys think of that? Do y'all, I mean, y'all, Jesse and Cameron, y'all both have kids. What's your like table phone kind of thing with them?
Even with friends, I try to make somewhat of an effort. Last night I went out with Cameron Chandler and Cohen was there. I did check my fantasy football score a couple of times, but for the most part, I try to be phone free at the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when we were on, I'm very intentional about that at meals. Like, even I read somebody say, like, even having your phone on the table, but like having it face down still says, like, if it's or something that's more important to you than the person you're with. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like, don't even put it on the table at all, you know,
right.
Like, keep it in your pocket, whatever. And I'm very intentional about that to the point that yesterday when we were on the canoe and I had my phone out to document our journey, Cohen turns back to me, he's like, Dad, put the screen away.
Be
present.
I'll say this. The real reason is he didn't want proof that I had easily won the race.
He didn't want Cameron bringing him down. It. Cohen knew he could win. He wasn't sure. Cameron was just dead weight to Cohen. No, Cohen knew he'd win that race.
I was dead weight. He's like, you put me in a tugboat. Now I got to pull you along. Yeah. Yeah.
I did leave my device on the dock only because I was relatively sure that they would ram me and knock me under the water. But
yeah, I'm super intentional about that. I mean, I think it's important. I think the nonverbal, you know, of you telling the people you're with that I'm here, I'm present, and this is my priority is key. I mean, right?
Yeah.
And I think I've told you all this before, but I have a group of friends that we put our phones on vibrate and then put them in the middle of the table, and whoever picks up their phone first has to buy everyone's dinner. So if you hear it start going off and you can't resist, you're the one who has to pay for dinner for everybody. And it is so fun.
At the end of the night, there's someone picks up the check like, suckers! And it's like 15 missed calls. Hey, guys, my house burned down after dinner.
Guys, I hope you enjoy your dinner. My mom passed away just thanks a lot.
Wow, things are dark in the relevant Orlando studios today.
She wanted to tell me one last thing before she went. Yeah. And, you know, voicemails.
But I got free dinner.
No. Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Chrissy Metz joins us.
Suddenly, my mind was bringing out desire in my hole, baby. So I got a woman to put out this fire burning in my soul.
You're listening to Theophilus London featuring Tame Impala. The song is Only You. Well, today's feature interview is brought to you by Squarespace. Creating your website with Squarespace is a simple, intuitive process. You can arrange your content and features with the click of a mouse using their amazing templates and design tools, all without a single plugin. And if you sign up for a year of Squarespace, you'll receive a custom domain for free for that year. You can even design a best-in-class online store with their award-winning customizable commerce tools. So,
yeah.
Squarespace also gives you all the tools you need to track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails in one intuitive interface. Squarespace Commerce allows you to understand every aspect of your business. They also have awesome 24/7 customer support.
Yeah.
You can go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code relevant to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I have used that code many times.
Yeah.
You gotta say 10%.
Probably you don't tell people that because aren't they supposed to use it only one time?
No. Hold on.
Different domains.
Different friends. Different purposes.
Different masking IP technologies.
I'm not tricking Squarespace here.
I wish y'all would start a website about all the different Pop-Tart options. I feel like y'all could really do a Pop-Tart website.
I'm trying to think what the name would be.
Well, it's easily poptart.biz. I guarantee. And then I sell it back to Big Pop-Tart for a hefty profit.
Here's a real question. Is it singular? Would you do poptart.biz versus poptarts.biz?
Literally, I just checked. Poptart.biz is available.
I think we need it. I also think we need meetseabass.org. And it's just about seabass.
M-E-E-T or M-E-A-T?
No, but you know what someone should do is buy SquireSebastianSenator.com for real right now.
Yeah.
Meet SeaBass.com is available.
And I also need Seabass Meat. And that's no. A-T.
M-E-A-T.
And that's my Seabass
Meat. M-E-A-T.com is available.
Okay.
Imagine that.
We're going to need them both.
So you're saying SquireSebastianSenator.com. Oh, it's taken.
Somebody, I'm sure someone already
got that.
Yeah.
Esquire Senator is available. Yeah. .com.
No one wants that one. That's nowhere near as regal.
I love that someone already bought Squire Senator, Squire Sebastian Senator.com. I think that's brilliant. I promise it wasn't the mama who canceled the party.
Oh, no. She didn't think about branding.
Oh, no. Trust me. She's Bobby Fischer in this. Two steps ahead the whole time. She's got it. Right. She's got it.
Hey, Squarespace, set your website apart. Chrissy Metz is known for her breakout role of Kate Pearson in the hit This Is Us, but she is also starring in the upcoming movie Breakthrough, which is being executive produced by Steph Curry and Devon Franklin. The film tells the true story of a boy who miraculously survives a life-threatening incident in which he falls through the surface of a frozen lake following the prayers of his devoted mother and pastor, played by Topher Grace.
Yeah, there you go.
Topher Grace doesn't play his devoted mother and pastor. It's two different characters.
That's right.
The devoted mother prayed for him and the pastor prayed for him.
The devoted mother, none other than our guest, Chrissy Metz.
But does Topher pray? No, not like Chrissy Metz prays.
But Annie, you've seen the film. It's coming out later this year. But like I said, the trailer got a lot of buzz this past week. And I've seen Chrissy Metz. She's been on Tonight Show and all these different places. You really like the movie and her performance in particular.
I'm being 100% truthful. I loved her performance. I thought she was so believable and so genuine. She was of the actors in it, she was by far my favorite performance.
Wow. What's your review of Topher?
I think Topher Grace plays a like millennial evangelical pastor.
Yeah.
And he comes really close to understanding what that would be like to be that person. He misses it a little bit to me.
I tell you, I'm going to do a plug for Unedited real quick.
Am I allowed to say that now?
Yeah, you are. Because I feel like that's a very fair criticism, and people haven't listened to Unedited with Cameron Strang. That's a point that came up in your recent conversation with Pete Holmes about how outsiders to particularly the millennial adjacent evangelical church structure, it's really hard to understand if you're not one of them. And he even talked about the challenge with having Judd Apatow direct an episode of Crashing, where Judd Apatow was like, why isn't the pastor wearing a collar? How are people going to know this is a pastor if he's not dressed like in a collar? And Pete Holmes is like, listen, you got to trust me. I know this culture and you have to know it, or people on the inside don't know.
Yeah, that's what happened, Jesse, is he's really good if he was being a millennial businessman or an actor or something like another job. But the thing that makes that type of person so interesting that does it poorly, like he's in the movie, he goes from not being the great pastor to a really great pastor. And that transition is really beautiful. But But there's a purity of, I actually love God and I'm trying to help these people love God, that is not in the character.
Yeah.
And so there's that, because there's a tension in real life millennial pastors of like, we want to be cool and wear the cool jeans and have the good worship, but that is because we actually love the God we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, I thought that was a little bit missing, but I'm not here to not be friends with Topher Grace. If he wants to be friends, I'll be friends with him.
Yeah, we'll probably, I mean, there's high likelihood we'll probably talk to him about this movie at some point.
At least it's better than like the majority of films and TV when they do like a church service. Gosh. It's like, it's a combination of liturgical attire, black gospel singing, and prosperity gospel preaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, no church is like any of this.
It's really hard to get it right from an outsider's perspective. And that, again, if people haven't heard your interview with Pete, I felt like that was a really fascinating strand, because you guys talked about that at length and it was super interesting.
We talked about everything at length because it's unedited.
Yeah. It is.
I think it is. Like I said, I mean, my biggest takeaway was, if my group of friends or my family all saw that movie, we would have a lot to talk about at dinner afterwards. Yeah. I mean, it is. And I think Topher Grace really did a good job for what he knew. And of all the Christian movies, this is this is a huge step in the right direction of the kind of art I think faith people want to make. So I'm into it.
We recently spoke with Chrissy about the film and why stories of faith are so inspiring. Here's our conversation with Chrissy Metz.
I am excited to talk to you about this movie. I feel like these types of movies can always be sort of surprising credits when you come across them on the old IMDb. So I'm wondering, what was your way into this particular character and this particular part?
You know, I thankfully was brought to my attention, and we just took a meeting, and I wanted to hear, and I knew, of course, about Joyce and Don's story from the news, you know, a couple of years previously, and it was so incredible. And I've always believed in miracles, you know, and I absolutely believe that in the power of prayer and community and unconditional love. And so when Yvonne Franklin, who's our producer, said he was, you know, turning it into a film and the script was already written, and I was like, can I read it? Like, oh my, yeah, like I'm so interested. And because I went through something with my mom very similar, in that the doctors gave a prognosis, and just as Joyce questioned her son's doctors, I questioned my mother's doctors, and I thought, wow, obviously there's a reason why this has been brought to my attention, and I really feel connected to this character and to her journey and to her plight, and I wanted to portray her. I mean, yes, very, very. I was sort of timid in that I was like, oh, this is a real story. These are real people, and this incredible journey of this family. But it was something that all just clicked and the stars aligned. So it was obviously meant to be.
That's cool. And that's such an interesting personal connection too. Is there something in your background spiritually or otherwise that kind of informs the things you believe about miracles and love and the other things you mentioned?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was definitely raised with faith, and my grandmother really instilled that in us from a very young age. But for me, you know, I always sort of had it like instinctively in me, and would honestly go to church on my own and look for these answers as a really young kid, but always knew that something greater and bigger than us was in charge. And whether I could explain it, you know, or not as a 9-year-old, I felt it. And I sort of attribute that to just even getting through all the stuff that I got through as an aspiring actress. Because as they say, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for anything. And I'm just so grateful that I had that foundation. Whether I knew how to explain it, whether I knew what it was as a young kid or how it's developing, you know, as a woman, but it just always happened. And it was never, and there were small things, you know, I remember we were going to go on the freeway or the interstate back in Florida where I'm from. And right as we're about to, you know, get onto the on-ramp, I was like, oh no, my Blockbuster movie has to be returned. And my friend was like, Chrissy, come on, just pay like the $2. And I'm like, no, like I need to return it. Something telling me I need to return it. And she's like, fine. So we go back and get the movie. And by the time we're going back to the interstate, there was this massive crash. I think probably 15, 16 cars. And
wow.
I'm like, holy moly. Like, dare I say holy moly, but like, it was so jarring for me because I knew that I try to trust my instincts, and that happens time and time again, and seems very trivial, but like those things continue to happen, and trusting, you know, that voice within. And I've seen it happen with my friends, obviously with my family, obviously with my mom and her medical emergency. It just continues to happen. And so luckily I've had that. I've had that sort of placed upon my heart, my soul, my spirit. And you know, I listen to it, and sometimes you don't want to because you're like, wait, what? But I'm always glad in the end that I have. So
yeah, that's an amazing story. Were there any surprises or challenges in engaging with those parts of yourself as you worked on this movie?
Oh yeah, I mean, just as Joyce, you know, she firmly believed that her son was gonna make it out of this tragedy alive and well. And having to believe in something that somebody doesn't necessarily believe in, or as an actress, not that we always need validation or acceptance, but as human beings, I think that's important to us. And I thought, oh, what if I do this movie? And people are like, why is Chrissy doing this? Or why is she doing that? Like, what is she doing with her career? And I'm like, the only reason why I get to do this and get to be a conduit is because of what I've been given from God. So if I can't honor him and I can't honor this story, like, what am I doing this for? So, you know, you have to sort of quiet, I think, those questions, especially in what we do, as, you know, being an actress and wanting to be accepted or be cool. But I just knew that this was something that I had to tell, and I have no qualms about expressing, you know, my faith or what I believe in. So, but it is challenging, obviously, playing a real person and something that is so emotionally driven and difficult, and the ups and the downs, and the, you know, they definitely go on a roller coaster. So I knew going into that was going to be going to be a feat for sure.
That was Chrissy Metz. Make sure to check her out on This Is Us, which is airing now on NBC, and in the new film Breakthrough, which releases soon. And I don't even know if I'm grown enough to say these words, but I want you more and more. That much I can be sure of. Tenderness of Seattle University School of Theology and Ministry is pleased to announce the introduction of a new academic degree program. The Master of Arts is a flexible program for students to have the freedom to research the intersection of religion and spirituality with other academic disciplines such as history, healthcare, psychology, social sciences, law, and more. Scholarships are available. Learn more about the MA and all of our other degrees by visiting seattleu.edu/STM/degrees. No, this is not the kind of love I'd ever thought I'd find. Whatsoever for. You're listening to Tasha. The song is Kind of Love. Okay, a little behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Editing pulling technology. No, editing technology.
Yeah.
Tyler had to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of the show, you're going to hear him magically reappear.
That's right.
So Tyler had an interview, actually, with our next episode's podcast guest. Yeah. So look at us double dipping.
That's right. I mean, look, we got a lot of balls in the air here. We got a lot of people that want to talk to us. We got a lot of people. Phones ringing off the hook, you know?
Anyway, okay. Well, it is time for the triumphant return.
Oh, Lord.
Of Ask Jesse.
Ask Jesse.
Ask Jesse is our segment where you guys tweet us at Relevant Podcast. You tweet us your life conundrums, your big questions, the things you need help outside perspective solving. You don't want to go to a counselor for this stuff.
No.
You want somebody
to go to someone. Don't go to like a mentor or someone wise.
Or someone that has a license to practice counseling.
That's not what you want.
What a waste.
No. You want life changing advice.
We don't need Uncle Sam telling us who can and can't give.
Wait, Uncle Sam, give advice said, and, did he get involved?
Yeah, because they need a license, but because of the government. I don't need someone telling me who can and can't give me advice or sell me life insurance. Just let me go on the black market.
All right, well, you know, a lot of millennials, Jesse, a lot of millennials, they want the experiences. They don't want the things. They want the experiences.
That's right.
Well, Mallory tweeted us.
Oh, okay.
She's actually, next week, she's visiting Ireland. And here's the conundrum. She's a redhead. And doesn't want to be mistaken as a native, a leprechaun, she wrote. She says, how do I let all the people I meet know that I am not from there?
This is an easy. This is an easy one, and I'll let you jump in here if you disagree with me, because
Annie's visited the Isles over there many times,
and she's a international traveler,
right?
Yes,
and I think we're going to be in alignment on this one, Annie. Having myself had the opportunity to visit places all over the world. What I do whenever I travel anywhere outside of the border of this country is the same strategy. Mm-hmm. I find that everywhere people love Americans who are very loud and shout their national pride at every opportunity. So here's what I suggest, Mallory.
Flag clothing.
Head to toe flag clothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you can find an opportunity to carry a flag, an American flag at any point, I would do that. Like put it outside your hotel room or your hostel, put a little American flag there, stake your claim, you know? And then I would start every morning by shouting the national anthem and standing up at restaurants for the Pledge of Allegiance for every meal. This will let people know not only where you're from, but they're going to want to probably come home with you. They're so impressed by your display of patriotism. Right. And also I would refuse. I would, every bite of food I would take, no matter what country I'm traveling in, I'd go, oh, gross. You eat this? Where's the closest McDonald's? You have those, don't you? So, I mean, people will know. People will know. And they'll point you in the direction of McDonald's. So, Annie, are we on the same page with this one?
Yeah. Super, super on the same page. I think my real question is
this.
My question is, why doesn't she want people to think she's from Ireland? When I travel to other countries, I want to look like a local.
This smells weird. Oh,
yeah, you're. Yeah, that's terrible.
People love it. USA.
She's going to ruin our national relationship with Ireland because of your advice.
Mallory, you do what your duty is as an American, and that's to announce how gross fish and chips are. Ah, what is this?
Fish and chips are delicious.
Yeah, fish and chips are awesome. But I guess you're trying to make a point.
Most fish is gross. Two, they're not chips. They're French fries. You know, call them by the American name, please. There's an American.
Freedom fries.
There's an American in your presence. And you know that because I put a flag on the table before I ate. So don't call stuff weird names. Don't call cookies biscuits. An American is here.
Can I also just say, in reality to Mallory, go see the Giant's Causeway. That's the coolest thing in Ireland to me. So.
Actual tips.
I know that's not helpful or silly, but yeah, I mean, it is helpful. It's not silly, but
not really, but go ahead.
Jesse, I'm going home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Jess on Twitter.
Okay.
Asked this. I'm going home for Christmas. I'm going to be spending time with a lot of my friends, but I don't have a lot of money because I'm broke. I'm a broke grad student. What are some ways my friends and I can have a good time without breaking the bank?
Now, Jesse, you were made for this kind of question. Free mayhem is like your finest thing you're good
at. This is, Jess, you go listen to earlier in the episode. This is what separates the Bennetts of the world from the Seabasses.
From the Seabasses.
You know, because Bennett has, you know, a trust fund.
Right.
Seabass is making his own luck out there.
That's
and
right.
probably can't hold a job because of numerous felonies. But Jess said she's traveling home at Christmas time, right,
yeah,
Cameron?
That's right.
She didn't give a location, but bets are it's pretty cold there, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's
well,
winter.
It's Christmas.
So yeah. I know from experience, there's nothing that unites a friend group like a good old-fashioned hot tub heist. Here's what you're going to need.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's...
Hot tub heist? How did you even come up with
that? Let me tell you why, Annie. And I may or may not know from experience, because Cameron got a questionably good deal.
It is. When I told you the numbers, I was blown away.
He was making it up on the spot. Because most heists, if you think about it, are relatively pulled off. The hot tub heist is the hardest of heists.
Right.
This is going to require everyone in the group to have a very specific role to pull this off.
Right.
You need someone who knows how to install and deinstall a pump pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
You need someone who can jump on that fuse box. You're gonna need someone, the diversion person, because from experience, there's no quiet way to steal a hot tub.
No,
so you gotta create a diversion where no one's gonna hear people going and literally dumping probably 20,000 gallons of water into the steaming.
20,000 gallons, no, it's more like 50 gallons. But
it's more than 50 gallons of water, right?
It's more than 50, but it's not 20,000. It's
probably 5,000 gallons of boiling hot water into the bushes.
Either way,
you're going to need a getaway driver. You're going to need a distraction.
But I will
person.
Tell you this is, I know this from experience, when said hot tub is delivered to your house and you got a great deal, they don't put it where you want it. They just drop it in the driveway.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and then, Cameron.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got this 500 pound shell of an enormous thing that you've got to get to the backyard somehow.
Yeah.
I will tell you that.
So the
mobility factor is huge.
I found this too. It's always helpful. I know you won't think you'll need him, but you might. Is someone who is pretty good at navigating ductworks and can crawl through ventilation shafts. Any heist, whether it's hot tub involved or not, I would just trust me on this one.
Yeah.
So
any heist needs that.
There you go.
All right. Hot tub.
Merry Christmas. Wow.
All right. Okay. Michael asks us, he says, I'm teaching middle school science and I have less than 10 days left before Christmas break. How can I get through to these wandering minds with something of significance? If it has to do with biology, that's a bonus. Ask Jesse.
I mean, if I was a student, I would be long gone by now. Mentally checked out. But you're teaching biology here.
Right.
So, I think this is where you get into the fringe stuff.
Sure.
Animal hybrids,
gross stuff,
cryptozoology, dissecting something really weird.
Yeah, that's true.
This is
how you keep them entertained at this point.
Because here's the thing. Let me tell you else who's checked out right now. The superintendent. You think he's going to have to deal with a big biology controversy? No, he's already in Christmas mode too. If there's one time of the year you can skate under the radar and perform a weird experiment that is probably illegal in the classroom.
If weird flashes and smoke start coming out of your classroom, you're good.
Yeah, and if somehow you are able to reanimate a long dead piece of roadkill or something really cool that's really gross and illegal, now's the time to start.
Annie, you were a teacher many, many years ago.
Yes.
What did you do at this time?
Slow down with the many, just one. It doesn't have to be two minis.
Okay.
What did I do? I was terrible at science. That was the subject I was the worst at. I was always they'll catch it next year. So we just, I would usually skip over it at this point in the year.
Just skip over a science altogether?
I mean, some days, yeah. I mean, I would always catch up because we had to, but I was never the fun science teacher because I didn't like that part of teaching.
I remember sixth grade, I had a teacher who liked to do experiments along the lines of Jesse's. I'm not kidding. I went to a small Christian school and the science teacher in sixth grade, I'll never forget this. He wanted to prank the class. So he had me, I've told this story, but he wanted to show everybody the power of liquid nitrogen. So he got a vat of liquid nitrogen, dry ice, stuff like that. And he pulled me aside before class like a magician would do and plant somebody in the crowd, right?
Yeah.
So he pulled me aside and he said, you're going to volunteer, okay? And the joke was he was going to show the class or the experiment was we put on a latex glove on my hand, right? I dip one of my fingers into the liquid nitrogen. He would tell the class that the latex protected my finger, but would crystallize, right? And then he would tap on the finger with a hammer, and the glove would crack and fall off of my hand, and my finger would be fine underneath. So what he did is one of the fingers was filled with a hot dog. And so I, you know, just covered, you know, bent my finger. And then, so it looked like I had five fingers. One was a hot dog. We dipped the hot dog finger into liquid nitrogen. He then smashes my finger with the hammer and chunks go all over the room.
No.
Girls were screaming. Chunks of meat of my finger were on kids. Everybody's disgusting. Freaking out. And then I'm supposed to scream and writhe and all this stuff. This was a Christian school science class in sixth grade. So this is the sort of stuff you're saying.
But there was only like six of y'all in that class, right?
I graduated with 23 people.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the beginning of class started with everything. At the beginning of the earth, 1,200 years ago. At the birth of the universe.
Oh, in the medieval times. Yeah. Okay, all right. These last two, they're a little sad. A little sad.
I mean, yeah, it's okay. Shelb
wants to know, my ask Jesse is, what advice would you give to someone with a broken heart?
With a broken heart.
Broken heart. Holiday season, tough time for a lot of people.
Nothing ails an aching heart like a little distraction. And there's nothing better distraction than planning, executing, and enjoying the fruits of a good old-fashioned hot tub heist. You're welcome. Just listen to
the last one. Yeah. Okay, Raf, who sends greetings from Switzerland. Oh. Raf says, I recently lost my job, been diagnosed with a light depression, and we recently welcomed a second child into our family. That means our lives are fairly exhausting at the moment. What method of escapism do you recommend? And no, fleeing to another country is out of the question.
Jesse, say something for real.
There's a lot of Raf's plate right now. There is a lot.
And he's in Switzerland. You know, it's very cold.
What concerns me about this one is the last sentence. That fleeing the country is not an option.
Right.
I want to know
why
Raf is persona non grata in everywhere but Switzerland.
Switzerland. Oh, this is like a WikiLeaks
exactly,
guy.
Exactly. Switzerland is, you know, there's a lot of diplomatic immunity stuff that happens within those borders.
Oh, that's funny.
Before we address the depression, I would look into your immigration situation because something tells me there's something Raf isn't telling us.
Yeah. Maybe an international hot tub heist where
But in all seriousness, maybe some exercise. That gets the endorphins going. And nothing.
But it's cold there.
I know, but I'll say this. Nothing will energize your exercise like trying to run the border of Switzerland. You got to go through the Alps. It's not an easy escape.
The family from Sound of Music did it. Yeah, you can do it too. Raf?
Yeah.
Raf.
Looks delightful.
R-A-P-H. Yeah. Raf.
R-A-P-H. So it's like Ralph without an L. So that's his first problem is his parents didn't just name him Ralph like a normal person.
Well, it's probably like Rafunzel or something. You know, some Swiss name. I don't know.
Yeah.
Rafunzel Monten or something. Or Squire Raf. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of things. All right. Well, that's a good comeback Ask Jesse segment. They tried to keep it going while you were gone. It got too real. And helpful.
That's the thing.
Well, because it was me and Eddie actually caring about people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
Yeah.
All right. If you want Jesse to answer your life conundrums, hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast News, hashtag Ask Jesse. Hey, many thanks to Chrissy Metz for joining us on the show today. Remember to catch her on This Is Us every week on NBC, and her new film Breakthrough hits theaters. Is it early next year? I heard it was end of this year. It's early next year.
Yeah, early next year. There you go. Yeah.
Hey, also, thanks to our sponsors for making the episode possible. You can find the new Church Home Global app by searching Church Home in the App Store or Google Play. It's spelled CHURCHOME. Or text Relevant to 555-888 for a direct download link. That's Relevant to 555-888. Also, thanks to Squarespace. You can go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, use the offer code Relevant to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Before we go, it's the holiday season. If you're looking for that really, really weird gift for the Relevant Podcast fan in your life, head over to the Relevant store. Mike Murphy tweeted us this weekend. He said, I need a Sickly Pines Tree Farm shirt in my life. We didn't do a shirt, but we do have a Sickly Pines. If you listen to the podcast, Christmas Spectacular, you'll know what we're talking about. Yeah. The Sickly Pines Christmas Tree Farm and Hospice Care. Oh, the lovely logo. It's
horrible.
I think the quote, the tagline on it is, "We got a bad batch."
Yeah.
I think we got a bad batch.
That's what it says. We got a bad batch. I looked at it this morning.
we got a mug. We got a mug for you in the Relevant store, and some other new swag and other Relevant gear and things have been added this week. Go check it out. It's store.relevantmagazine.com, or you can find the link right there at the front page of Relevant's site. Also, thanks to everybody who's been sending us feedback and reviewing the podcast. Runnerstruck just said, "I just wrapped up listening to Cameron's new podcast, Unedited, episode 2 and 3 with Pete Holmes, and I've been a Relevant podcast listener for years." Thanks, Runnerstruck. "And I've always loved it. This new platform feels so real and honest. 5 stars. Wow. Thanks. That's awesome.
So that wasn't really about Relevant as much as that was about you.
It's about the new podcast. About Pete Holmes. It's about the new Relevant podcast. Unedited.
Come on. 5 stars,
let me
Annie.
Give all also, feedback on this Relevant.
5 stars.
My also, podcast is awesome.
Okay, first of all, you know this. I am Ron Burgundy, and they just put words in front of me.
He didn't tell me to do that. I saw. I was like, "Oh, that's good. Yeah, you know, we're going to pump the new show. Come on.
I am reading this stuff for the first time as we record. So those words were coming out of my mouth as you were hearing.
Much. It's too good.
Though, in fairness,
halfway through me reading it, I got uncomfortable. I will say that.
I don't mind reading these, and I don't mind if you read it early, to be honest. I try to send them first thing in the morning. I had this done yesterday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're like, Jesse, you're like, "I don't mind, Cameron, if you read this before we started," because... <I know.
laughs> let's see. Funny. Here's a review that we just... That Jesse
from
put
iTunes.
This is a review that Jesse found on iTunes and put in the lineup for me to read. The headline is, when you don't have any friends, they will be yours.
Oh, so nice.
It says, "When you don't have any friends in real life, they will become yours. You will laugh together until you can't breathe, have inside jokes that run for years, and collectively increase the stock of chilies." That is true.
Yeah.
Best thing is, they have no choice in the fact that you are now BFFs.
So honest.
Didn't
so true.
Tell us what they rated the show.
Really? No, it's 5 stars.
Oh, 5 stars.
I only told 5 stars.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
I like that people feel like they're friends with us. I think that too.
Yeah.
Me too.
That's how it felt Friday. The people who came to the live show, they just all feel like they're our friends.
Annie will be your Bennett, and I will be your Seabass.
That is the gospel.
Okay, that sounds like a shirt. That's
yeah, he will be your Bennett, Annie. And I'll be your Seabass.
Hey, if you like the podcast, subscribe to Relevant. Right now, there's a great gift subscription option for Christmas gifts, last-minute Christmas gifts. You can like print out a thing and put it in a card, and looks like you were thoughtful well in advance of Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a great price right now, and they will get a year's worth of Relevant. You can go to relevantmagazine.com/give for that deal. And if you want a good deal for yourself, you can go to relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. I think you'll like the magazine. We have some great stuff coming up this year, like the next cover. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And the one after that. We have that one locked in, too. Look at us working in advance. All right. Well, on that note, we will wrap things up. It was, man, this was fun, but it was a lot more fun having everybody in person.
I know. Yeah. I loved being there. That was really fun.
What we're talking about, we got to do it again. We got to do live again.
We got to keep doing it. It got to be part of the regular mix. Yeah. It's too much fun. But this was good, too.
Yeah, this was fun.
But this will do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Seabass.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
I'm Annie F. Downs.
All right. We'll see you on Friday. Have a good week, everyone.
Listening to the Relevant podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant podcast network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. They all just waltzed in a second. Stood there like some dumb kid. The music played and the boys would take you far from where I was. I was still hoping. Ugh, what is this? Relevant Podcast Network.